A range of issues, from weather and feed prices to recession fears, have contributed to cattle markets' slide in recent weeks, despite tight supplies and strong consumer and export demand. How can producers prepare for the uncertain season ahead? That's today on Field Posts. This is a DTN Progressive Farmer podcast that dives deeper into the most important trends in agriculture to explore the business's cutting edge. I'm your host, Sarah Mock. Despite optimistic news coming out of recent USDA reports for livestock producers, factors like drought continue to weigh down cattle markets, and the discouraging signs have left some analysts scratching their heads. DTN livestock analyst Shaylee Stewart joins us today to untangle the many issues that are driving modern markets, and she offers advice on how producers should be thinking about prices as they wade into the summer months. Shaylee will dive into the latest USDA reports, discussing slaughter pace in addition to supply, demand, and outside pressures that are affecting decision makers in unexpected ways. Plus, she'll compare current conditions to those bull run years in 2014 and 15 to give listeners perspective on how similar moments in history have played out. Then we'll dig into questions around mindset and planning, the broader economic picture, and check in on Shaylee's personal experiences in the marketplace right after this word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by the 2023 Virtual Ag Summit Series. The next Ag Summit Series event is coming up soon. Here's Katie Dellinger with more on what you can expect and how to participate.
We're going to meet for our next Ag Summit Series on May 23rd, and we're calling it Crop Updates from the Field, because hopefully by then the crop is in, it's up, and farmers will really have a better idea of what they're looking at. They'll be able to start discussing what kind of weeds they're seeing, what kind of emergence they had, any concerns they may be having about pests early on, and getting a perspective on what they're going to do. So we're going to bring in a lot of farmers from across the growing region to talk about what they're seeing on their farms. We're going to have a presentation from KJ Johnson. He's the president of the Illinois Chemical and Fertilizer Association. He's going to talk a little bit more about some of the new dicamba deadlines that are out there for certain states. He's going to talk about what he's hearing as far as some of the agronomic need to know for the year. Then we'll also have updates on that summer weather as we're moving into it. And then we'll have Todd Holtman to do a real deep dive into the markets, where they're going, what the trends are. Is there going to be a chance for an in-growing season rally for farmers to make a marketing decision? Sounds like a lot. It is a lot, but we're going to make good use of farmers' time. We're going to take about 3 hours in the morning of May 23rd to really dig into these topics. We're going to have the option for some interaction at the end of it as well. We're going to have a Zoom room chat, and I'm really excited to see what farmers have to say and how they interact. It's important to know that the Ag Summit Series events are completely free. We really just want farmers to show up, participate, and get access to this information. It's a different way to hear from many of the voices you hear on dtnpf.com and really get a chance to get deep in this information. We have most of the outline of our schedule and a lot of other information about how to register online already at dtn.com/2023-ag-summit-series.
Now, back to the show. DTN livestock analyst Shaylee Stewart joins us again today to talk through some of the latest news in cattle markets, as well as some longer-term trends. Shaylee, we just had Todd Holtman on 2 weeks ago talking about the WASDE, 3 weeks ago, I guess now. And the big thing that he talked about when we talked about livestock was just how bullish the cattle market was looking. Give us an update on where it's at today and what has happened over the last month or so.
Oh, that's such a question in and of itself, Sarah, and I'm glad that you posted at the beginning of our conversation here today, because I think that's what everyone is wanting to know. We know that the market's fundamentals are so, they're ripe and the fruit is coming to fruition, and it's just within an arm's reach. We made new fat cattle highs this spring, taking out the existing highs established in 2014 and 2015. The feeder cattle market is printing over $2 all across the futures complex. It is a strong market. We are seeing just really the shift and the change in the cycle start to favor producers. But at the same time, over the span of the last 2 weeks, we've seen kind of some hesitancy in the marketplace. The fat cattle market has traded lower now for 3 weeks in a row, despite the fact that carcass weights are still trending anywhere from 10 to 15 pounds lighter than a year ago. Box beef demand is still printing extremely high, and our consumer demand is phenomenal. And so you kind of scratch your head and you're like, why are we in this stalemate period? Why are we taking a step back? Why are we pausing? What is the market doing? And honestly, I think that this really comes down to two main points. Number one being feed and moisture are a concern of this marketplace still. If you go across the Dakotas or really anywhere, whether or not we're going to have a corn crop remains a question. And obviously that's going to affect feed prices and how you're able to articulate your cost of gains and your break evens in the year ahead. Then secondly, grass has been slow to come on. We had phenomenal moisture over the winter. Our drought map has improved mostly throughout the United States. I know that parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas are still in severe drought, and those individuals are still liquidating their beef cow herds. But largely as a nation, we're in a better position drought-wise than what we were a year ago. But still, you can see green coming on when you drive across the countryside, but it's not exploded yet. And there's not just been that sure promise that, aha, at last, the moisture is helping drive either crops or helping drive grass. And so that's created some leeriness in the market. And then also, I think that we just have to talk about the sheer fact that the cattle market runs in a really habitual, expected 10-year cycle, where maybe two or three out of those 10 years favor cow-calf and feedlots position, whereas the other realistically 8 years favors packers position. And so what does that mean? That means that packers can refine and really hone in on their skills and their business side of the market and perfecting it over an 8-year span out of a 10-year whack. Whereas cow-calf producers and feedlots, they try to make the most hay while the sun's shining in that 2-year span. But they're not nearly as good at market control and decisiveness as packers are. And that just comes with the environment in which we're in. I mean, realistically, only four packers have to get their minds together and say, hey, this is what we're going to do in the market this week. Whereas thousands of cow-calf producers or thousands of feedlots have to say, hey, this is where we think the market's going. And it's obviously much harder to get 1,000 people to agree on a direction than it is for organizations. So I think when you ask, where's the market at today? It's stalling and it's hesitant. You know what? The biggest things moving forward, I really pray that cow-calf producers and feedlots take advantage of this market while the fundamentals continue to point in their favor and that they don't squander that opportunity. And then also, we need this grass to pop. We need the moisture to continue because, you know what, we're seeing really high temperatures already, and we just need the promise of good spring moisture to come through.
Talked about a number of things I'm going to come back to in a little bit, but I wonder also, USDA has put out a couple of reports in recent weeks that seem to have had some effect on the market as well. I wonder what you're thinking as you look at the information coming out of USDA. Does it seem reliable? Does it seem like it's being helpful in the marketplace? How are you looking at USDA updates recently?
That's a mixed question because I think it comes down to the individual reports themselves. And so obviously we love to track the WASDE data, and I think that's really helpful because it is a price expectation. It's not a guaranteed price of what they think fourth quarter fats are going to be or what they think beef demand is going to be. What's our import levels? What's our export levels going to be? But it's a great projection. And so I think that's pretty reliable for us to continue to gauge and monitor. Something that I've actually just been frustrated with here as of late though on the USDA side is the cattle on feed reports. And I discussed this in a couple blogs here recently. And the reason why I'm frustrated with the USDA reports is because it seems like that report only negatively affects the market when the report is viewed as either neutral or, heaven forbid, bearish. And whenever the report is actually bullish and favorable in the market's perspective, it never actually helps propel the market higher. And so I struggle with that report because actually in the way that the market has chosen to decipher its information, it's not that market participants actually look at the USDA numbers and say, hey, it came in lighter than a year ago. Our placements were lighter than a year ago. Our on-feed numbers are lighter than a year ago. Our marketings were more aggressive. That signals higher prices. Let's run, let's roll. Actually, what market participants do is they say, okay, this is what the average of the analyst projections were. This is where the USDA figures came in. And if there's any, if there is any variation between the two, it's just automatically presumed to be bearish. And so that's why I'm struggling with the cattle on feed reports, is because I think that we need to reassess how we evaluate those reports and say, you know what, analysts are just people. And the USDA, actually, even though they're looking at numbers and articulating this data, the USDA is just made of people as well. And so when it's time to look at that report and its numbers, we need to look at the data and say, it's not really the comparison between these two numbers that affects the market. It's the actual hard data. And so that would be my goal. That would be my hope, is that moving forward, individuals, market participants, traders, cattlemen as well, look at the data and says, what is the cattle on feed report trying to tell me right now? What is it trying to tell me in the month ahead? What is it trying to tell me in 6 months, even a year? Instead of just saying, oh, hey, the numbers were different than what they projected them to be. Oh, it's a bad day.
I'm thinking too about comparisons to not just of USDA reports, but of the whole overall market situation right now to times in the past. You talked just a little while ago about that on average, there's only 2 or 3 years out of 10 that work in favor of cattle producers as opposed to packers. But I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the last maybe time that we saw a period of really bullish markets for producers. Yeah. And maybe what can we learn from how this played out in the last decade for this decade?
Oh, terrific question, because I honestly think it's one that we've not spent enough time talking about, because we want to learn from history, right? We want to know how the cycle affected producers in 2014, 2015, what the decline of prices did to producers on the backside of that rally, and how producers can strategize in this upcoming bull run to make the most of it, and then honestly set themselves up in a stronger position to weather the years of softer prices through that 8-year span. And so I sat down a while ago and evaluated the 2014-2015 bull run compared to where we're sitting in the market and its environment today. And the things that stuck out to me is that, number one, we have seen our beef cow herd reduced significantly greater than what it was in 2014 and 2015. And that's just sheer data. That is a sheer fact that we got to realize and understand in the January cattle inventory report. And truthfully, our cow herd liquidation hasn't ceased. Since then, it's continue to be liquidated. And so when we got that January report, the data showed us that we have fewer beef cows in the U.S. than what we did in 2014. And so as we look at this bull run, that should indicate to us that supplies are going to be thinner this year and next year, and potentially even into a third year. And so that tells me, number one, that prices should be able to pressure the top side, which was made in 2014, 2015. And that assumption has already came to fruit, because our fat cattle prices already made new highs early in April of this year. They took out the highs established in 2014 and 2015. Now, the feeder cattle side of things, I think that if you go ahead and study the spread between the May and the August 2023 feeder cattle contract, if you've paid attention to that spread throughout the year, you've noticed that there's been anywhere from a $10 to $25 difference between those two contracts. And that is solely because we know that there will be starkly fewer feeder cattle in the second half of 2023 as compared to the first half. And again, that is solely a supply reason. And so when I look at 2014, I look at 2015, you ask yourself, why did the market get high then? It's because supplies were low and demand was high. That being our second point. What differentiates this bull run compared to that bull run? And it is demand. And so at the later part of 2015, we started to come into some really strong export demand and beef demand. And that really helped the market gain. But it was on the backside of that bull rally when, you know, our supplies were starting to be built up here in the United States. So that kind of actually pressured our domestic prices here for feeder cattle and live cattle. But adversely, here in today's market, our export demand is phenomenal. And we are just at the brink, at the front side of this bull run. And so I'm really excited to say that there's actually tremendous opportunity and more opportunity in this bull run than what there was in that bull run. Now, the differences that could negatively affect our marketplace in today's bull run, that is going to extend most likely into 2024, potentially early parts of 2025. Who knows? That's a long way to speculate. It's our political environment. And I should say just external pressures more so, because it's political, it's environmental, it's worldwide pressures. It seems as though the cattle market is far more susceptible to being pressured by external things. Anything that is not cattle related, the war in Ukraine, drought, interest rate hikes, inflation, it is so susceptible to looking for any reason to trade higher or lower that it goes scrounging for any newsworthy information, and it's susceptible much more than what it was in those past years to trading lower. So we have to be careful, because our market is more vulnerable now, I'd say, but there is more potential if it's given the opportunity to trade higher.
Switching gears, I wonder if you could give us the update on kind of stocks and slaughter pace and what is happening on that end and how you think maybe it might be changing over the next couple of months.
That's a good question, too. Let's be honest, packers are businessmen, and they're phenomenal businessmen. I wish that cow-calf producers and feedlots could learn from them and realistically not become them. They're individuals that we struggle with just because of how they operate their business, but learn their market and their practices in a way that they look at their business and their operations solely from business perspectives, financial perspectives. And so as packers are looking at the market environment, before this last 3 weeks where prices are trading lower, they were saying, man, you know, this cash cattle market, it's starting to run away on us. How are we going to pump the brakes on this thing? And the two ways in which packers can do that is they can reduce slaughter speeds and they can drive box beef prices higher. Now, driving box beef prices higher in this market environment is a very risky thing, because box beef prices are already high and the U.S. consumer's dollar simply isn't going as far as it once was because of inflation. So that's a pretty risky thing to do in this market environment. And let's be honest, they want to sell as much product as possible at these prices because they're good prices. So what they've started to do is they started to draw back, and they've been very disciplined about not producing too much product for consumers to where that actually drives box beef prices lower. And so they've actually started to pull back slaughter speeds. And last year, it was pretty common to see weekly slaughter speeds around 650,000 head on a weekly basis. And here, as of late, we've been seeing them be much more controlled and much more disciplined in their slaughter speeds. And that way they can get an upper edge on the market. And we're seeing more so around 620,000 head processed on a weekly basis. And with cattle possessing lighter carcasses than what they were a year ago, that just simply allows for less product to be marketed on the consumer front. And so that's really how packers have managed this market, and they've been very keen and wise about how they've gone about doing so. So that's given them the upper hand and the ability to get a hold of this cash cattle market. And maybe the spring high is in. Nobody really knows, just because supplies are so thin. It could have to get higher again before we get into the summer months of May and June. But as of right now, they've got a foothold on the market because they've been able to build up their deferred inventories, and they've just been able to get that market to start to try lower, which typically has a negative psychological effect on the cash cattle market.
Speaking of moving into the summer, obviously we have barbecue season fast approaching. You talked a bit about the demand side already, but I'm just curious, as you look to the year ahead, do you expect the current demand picture to hold? Do you expect demand to even tick up, or are you seeing kind of signals of a change in the trend?
That's a tough question, because when we look at this year, we always want to rely on seasonalities and habitual patterns that are followed in the marketplace. And so what we can typically expect in the box beef market is that around Memorial Day, we'll see peak seasonal prices, and then it'll soften going into June and July. But those are huge beef demand months. And so it's not so much that we're not moving as much product, but we make a seasonal high price-wise. And so as we continue to move throughout the year, I'm in this middle ground of saying, well, you know what? Our consumers are pinched. They're stressed. They don't have near as much change in their pocket to spend, but we have learned and that we have seen consistently throughout the span of the last 3 to 5 years that even when consumers are pinched financially, they're still choosing beef. They still want to grill beef because it's just a really sought after chosen product. And so I truly believe that we're going to see demand hold so long as box beef prices don't for some reason shoot higher and just become unaffordable. But beef demand has proven to be a prime product that consumers just seek realistically because it's what they want to grill.
We've talked about weather right at the top, but I'm curious how you are watching the weather picture, keeping track of the feed and grass picture. Are you seeing signs that, you know, there's optimism ahead, or are you, you know, thinking that it might be another tight year?
Weather's a hard concept to talk about in the markets because a big storm can come through and it can completely change your outlook, completely change the market's environment and reality. And so I think that sometimes the market, like I said, is in this pausing, it's in this holding nature right now and chopping sideways. And I think that's largely because it is wondering, are we going to get some spring rain? Are we going to get some spring moisture? What's the grass outlook going to do? How much corn is going to get planted? What are we going to be able to expect for hay prices this fall, this winter? And so I do think that largely contributes to some of the pausing nature in the market today. Now, honestly, that also affects the market negatively because weather markets are extremely volatile. You know what? Let's say John Baranek says, hey, we have a storm coming and it doesn't come to fruit like we expected it to. That can gravely upset the apple cart and just put the market on edge. But weather is weather. And you know what? At some point, we will get rain. Hopefully, that's sooner rather than later because drought has continued to be a plaguing down pressure to this market. But we are in a better scenario drought-wise than obviously what we were last year, with the exceptions of parts of Texas, Kansas, and Oklahoma. Drought remains a forefront issue for this marketplace that we have to continue to monitor, have to continue to track, because it could change any day, any instance, with any significant either precip accumulated or their lack of.
I want to switch gears a little bit and ask about you ranch in Wyoming with your family, and you all just had your annual sale, I think, recently. Could you talk to us a little bit about, you know, what happened at the sale and what maybe that indicates for you about the year ahead?
Oh, absolutely. This is a fun and near and dear to me. So of course I'd love to share. So we have our annual bull sale the first Saturday in April here in Cody, Wyoming. And just like everybody else, we had to make some tough decisions this year with the sale because of weather. So we ranched just south of Cody, and thank the good Lord above, we got so much moisture the week of the sale. And so here we are, we have 200 bulls here getting ready to be sold. Pens are bedded. We had some females offered too, and we're just scratching our heads saying, what are we going to do for this sale? Nobody wants to be tromping through knee-high mud at the sale day, falling down and getting muddy, cold, and wet. And we have an arena that we use as our indoor sale facility, but still, it's a hike up the hill to the arena. And so we made the decision to actually host the sale in town this year at the historic Buffalo Bill Irma Hotel, and that was a blessing for us. The folks and the individuals there were so good, and they hosted our sale warmly and were great hosts. And it was really fun because it just offered a little bit different environment for the sale, but we were just blessed. You know, it's so fun to see the individuals who come, some new faces, some old faces, some young faces, some old faces, and just the different stories that they have to share. When you see somebody holding a bidder's card for the very first time, you see the anxiousness and honestly the sheer vulnerability in them, because, you know, it's a big deal for young producers to come out and spend $3,000 on a bull or what have you, the price. They don't have a lot of extra money to share, and they got to make ends meet, and they hope that this bull will go and do what he's meant to do. And then you see other seasoned buyers come in and they're looking to buy a potload of bulls at a whack. And I just love the different stories that we have to share in this industry. And honestly, it's just a time in which really fills my heart, and it reminds me that I'm doing what I'm doing for a purpose, because those folks are just like me, but I'm given the privilege and the opportunity to track these markets for them on a daily basis to make their lives easier. And so I absolutely love the fellowship that comes from our sale, because we get to be surrounded with individuals that are like us for basically a week on end. People come in, they want to view the cattle, they want to be able to make good, discerning decisions about how they're going to continue to breed their stock and how that's going to affect them for the years ahead, because buying a bull is no small decision. And we were blessed with a great sale. We averaged right around $4,200. It was a phenomenal blessing for my family, Jimmy Stetson and I, and we look forward to the year ahead. And so I really pray that for our customers, they continue to get lots of moisture in their area, their calves wean big, their cows breed, and that they need twice as many bulls next year. Lord willing, we're going to keep after it and offer them more bulls next year, but hopefully we don't get that snowstorm the week of the sale, and so we can have it here at the ranch again.
In the spirit of the sale and that moment for you in the year, to also have it happen right around when we have the shift in the market, and you talk so much about the fundamentals are good, but yet the market doesn't always play out like that. I wonder if you could offer some advice about how market cycles can be so short. There can be little anomalies. No producer works on that short of a scale. Talk a little bit about strategies you use to keep your head, to filter out some of the noise. How do you keep following it and keep that in mind while you're also making decisions that affect you for years and years?
So there's probably a professional appropriate answer here, and then there's not so appropriate and professional. And so I will not recommend large consumption of alcohol because that never helps. But sometimes you feel like you want to just have a drink after the market's done, completely opposite of what the fundamentals have signaled. And so I really just want to advise producers to remember that no one day means much of anything. Just because the market trades higher, just because the market trades lower, doesn't mean that the fundamentals are thrown out the window. And it's funny, the market will trade or close $2 to $3 lower, and I'll get phone calls of, well, now what, Shaylee? What are we gonna do? What does this mean? Should I just go ahead and get a buyer on the phone and get my feeder cattle contract this afternoon? What's going on? And I know that is so hard to look at, because just because the futures market closed $2 to $3 lower and represents a price that your cattle could realistically be priced at or against in the future, it doesn't mean that your calves in the pasture are actually worth any less. And so I think that we have to learn from the market. I think that we have to assess the market, but nor do I think that we ever should look at the market and be reactionary. And I think that's the hardest thing in the marketplace, is that we have to remember that the market isn't some abstract thing that trades methodically because of just fundamental and technical reasons. The market is people like you and I, and traders and other cattlemen and other day traders. And so just because it does some squiggly up or some squiggly down, that doesn't mean it means anything. We have to assess the market as a broader whole and look to the fundamentals and look to the technical picture as well, because it is very important and it does signal trends in the market's environment. But I really caution folks from making rash decisions and just changing their entire marketing strategy over one factor in the marketplace because of it was higher or lower. And so I think that we need to protect ourselves from that vulnerability, because we're people too. And you know what, we see an up or down and it affects us emotionally. We can't deny that fact. But what I think that we can do is we can protect ourselves by having different marketing strategies. Hey, I think that I would maybe like to market my steer calves in July. But if July is a soft marketplace, then maybe I'll look at October. If October is soft, what would it cost me to carry those feeder cattle over into January? And so I don't think that we can ever become lax and not have those options and know your break-evens. Because if there's ever an opportunity in the market that gives you higher prices than what you assumed, or a potential to make hay while the sun's shining, we have to capitalize on that. But I think, again, the biggest thing is, do not make any emotional decision just because of one day's trade.
So we've talked about so many of the kind of internal factors for cattle markets here, from supply and demand to the weather, slaughter pace, all that. But, you know, for the rest of this season, especially into the summer and into the fall, obviously there has been a lot of concern more broadly in the economy. There's just a lot of uncertainty with interest rates, some of the things you mentioned. What will you be watching most closely for its potential to affect cattle markets going forward?
That's a good question, Sarah. And I think that drought has to be on the forefront of our mind, because there are two things that affect the U.S. beef cow herd, and that's profitability and green grass. As soon as we start to see greater profitability in the industry, our cow herd will begin to be built back. And as soon as we start to see more green grass and more feed availability in the industry, we will start to see our cow herd built back. When the cow herd begins to be built back, that's when we increase supplies and consequently prices fall lower. And so I will be watching drought more closely than what I want to, truthfully. It's something that, as a livestock market analyst, you think you just get to sit and talk about cattle and hogs and what's going on in their markets, but really you watch the weather innately. And so I will continue to watch for drought, or just weather cues is what I should say. And the other thing that we have to be very cautious about is any changes in feed prices, as well as our demand picture. How are U.S. consumers behaving? Are they sticking to historical patterns? Are we continuing to see good export demand internationally? Are we seeing any political changes in our market environment that's making exports not as possible as they were in years past? And so I will continue to watch beef demand, and will continue to watch the weather, as well as any changes in our beef cow herd slaughter.
You can read more about the latest on cattle markets and check in on all of Shaylee's reporting at dtnpf.com or in the monthly DTN Progressive Farmer magazine. This episode of Field Post was brought to you by the team at DTN Progressive Farmer, with special thanks to Shaylee Stewart. This episode was produced and edited by me, Sarah Mock, with support by Greg Hillier, Kylie Swanson, and Susan Payne. And a big thanks to all of you for listening. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, remember, the future of farming is here. This episode of Field Post is brought to you by DTN Ag Weather Station. Are you looking to get more accurate, hyper-local weather information? By gathering weather and agronomic data directly from your own fields, DTN Ag Weather Station supports you when making targeted decisions around expensive or high-risk activities like chemical applications and irrigation. DTN's Ag Weather Station can be purchased for as low as $9 a month, depending on your current customer status with DTN. If you're looking to increase your weather accuracy while saving time, please visit dtn.com.